Scripture readings this week place a lot of emphasis on opening. Lots of scriptures do. The prophet Isaiah describes a time when the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. The psalmist praises the Lord who executes justice for the oppressed, gives food to the hungry, and opens the eyes of the blind. And St. Mark describes Jesus placing his fingers in a deaf man's ears and saying, "Be opened." Deep calls to deep, says the psalmist, and the depth of Jesus' life calls to the depth of our condition as humans. And so, rightly today, we celebrate baptism. This is a happy day. Baptisms are celebrations for the ones who are being baptized, and it can also be an occasion of renewal for all those who have already been baptized. Each time we gather around the baptistry, we bear witness to God's grace in our own lives and our life together. We remember our baptisms, renew our faith, and confess our belief in the resurrection, the grace of God, and our salvation in Christ. In some traditions, there's a line spoken at baptism which goes something like this: "The Lord Jesus made the deaf hear and the dumb speak. May he so touch your ears to hear the word and your lips to proclaim the faith." This too is a baptismal prayer today for each of us. May the Lord Jesus touch our ears to hear the word, and our lips to proclaim the faith. And today's gospel passage gives the origin of that blessing. A crowd of people brought to Jesus a man who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. Jesus used outward signs, matter, and physical objects as a means to give inward grace. He touched the man's ears with his finger and his tongue. He spoke words. He healed the man. In the Gospels, Jesus healed many people. This healing in particular is incarnational. It's physical. There's touch. This healing in particular is also spiritual and holistic. It's about more than ears that are stopped and a tongue that doesn't function. We can say Jesus healed the man sacramentally. Outward signs, inward reality. Just as this person's condition has symbolic value, so does the means of the healing. The act of healing itself was accomplished with a word of liberation addressed not to defective auditory organs, but to the man himself and to the heart from which hearing and speech derive. Jesus looked to heaven, sighed, and said, "Ephphatha," be opened. Jesus doesn't merely give the command, hear or speak or be healed, but he says, be opened. Open our ears, open our hearts, open our capacity to listen and speak the words of life. The baptismal blessing is indeed a prayer for all of us. May the Lord open your ears to hear the word. Our inability to hear the word isn't hardly a function of ears for most of us, but of mind and of heart. Our condition as humans, particularly in the time we live, echoes the condition of deafness. Now, some people are in need of the gift of healing and our ability to hear, and many of us as we grow older. But more so, more of us, more of the time, it's not our ability to hear, it's our capacity to listen. To put it simply, there's a difference between hearing and listening. Every married couple knows this of one another. Except for ours. This is new to us. But your marriages need this. That's all I'm saying. Every teacher in every classroom knows this of students. Just because words go in one ear doesn't mean they don't just spill out the other one immediately. To listen well is to be open to the one who's speaking. And to do this, we must learn to slow down and to be present. Jesus took the man away from the crowds for this healing. There's wisdom there. To get away from the noise of crowds so that our ears and our hearts find the silence necessary to be able to truly listen. This getting away for us can take the shape of a retreat or a practice of centering prayer. These are both beautiful things. It can also simply mean not turning to social media when there's a lull in the day or in a conversation, but rather just be. Slow down. Be present. Our practice of brief silence in Sunday morning worship nods to the practice of silence as a spiritual practice for all of our lives, which helps us learn to listen. Listening for the good word of God is first letting the word penetrate through the noise and mindless chatter that's all around us, and let us confess, is also within us. Is this true for you? Sometimes when we pause to pray, it can seem like a circus erupts in our head. You ever had that experience? Thomas Merton was keen to this even in the 1950s and 60s, the outward noise of all that's around us and the inner noise that he said just erupts in him whenever he closes his eyes and tries to come into prayer. He noticed how these are connected, how our eyes and our ears are bombarded all the time with messages to largely to buy and consume and be distracted. And that was in the 50s and 60s. How much more now? When we were driving in the UK this summer, I asked our family in the car one day, I said, do you notice what's different about this road? And they said, yeah, the steering wheel is on the right-hand side of the car. And I was like, yeah, that's true, but that's not what I'm getting at. What else? You're driving on the left-hand side of the road? Yes, yes, that's true too. But again, not what I'm getting at. They said, you're gripping the steering wheel like you're choking the life out of it, which was definitely true. It's terrifying, all those things. It was totally scary. I said, no, look, pay attention. There's no billboards up and down the roads for miles and miles. No ads in our eyes. Just trees and open spaces and a culture that apparently didn't think it was necessary to be confronted every single moment of every single day with a wall of visual and auditory noise. And they nodded agreement and went right back to listening to their shows. Maybe Jesus put his fingers in the man's ears for a moment out of knowledge for what the man was about to hear when he could actually hear. The noise of a crowd, perhaps for the first time in his life, and he would never again have silence so simple. May you never get so used to noise that you can't distinguish between all the words and the word. Being open is cultivating the capacity to listen, which comes through practicing silence. Listening also is about the practice of openness to other people and what they may have to offer as unique, beloved children of God and sometimes unlikely teachers. This too is a spiritual discipline that has more to do with our hearts than our ears. Listening is especially hard when what you hear and who you hear it from isn't just a matter of distraction, but makes your stomach knot up and your hands ball in anger. I know a pastor who challenged his congregation to be curious about why people think and see things the way they do when they're different from the way you see things and think about the way things are. Acknowledging what is sure to be a tense election season for his congregation, he said, "I have a secret for you. You are with some people who will vote differently than you." And he said, "Try to have the courage to ask them why and let them tell you." He said, "You don't have to agree with them. That's not required. But like Ted Lasso's, be curious, not judgmental," the pastor encouraged them to wonder what they see that you don't see, what they feel or fear or hope that you simply don't understand. Be interested. Mark, the gospel writer, who is typically judicious with his words, describes in some geographic detail when Jesus is outside of his normal home turf, and this is one of those times. He's with the other and heals the other and is willing to listen to the other. We don't have to go so far to find the other side of an issue or a politic. Unless you've totally sealed yourself off in a bubble, it's often right next to you. Even if you have totally sealed yourself off in a bubble, it's right next to you. You just don't know it. I think most people find this kind of open posture to the other to be deeply vulnerable and deeply uncomfortable. We definitely won't see a posture of listening or generosity on display from candidates, nor from their surrogates, nor from those who promote them or destroy the other or yell about all of it on TV. But they don't get to tell us how to live in the world. They don't get to dictate how Christians live with one another. They don't get to make us close our ears and retreat into echo chambers of spewing hot lava. We're people of Jesus. Jesus who transcended boundaries and saw the humanity in people who are different. To be people of Jesus is to have his fingers on our ears and his fingers on our lips and on our hearts. We are protagonists of Ephata. Truth is, we could probably all use some divine intervention and healing in these areas in these days. To learn when not to listen and when to listen deeply and openly. Well, divine intervention is on order today. Divine healing, sacramental transformation. It's a baptism day. A day when we remember that we are made people who worship God the Spirit, who hovered over the waters of creation, whose power parted the Red Sea, and who sanctifies the baptismal water. We worship God the Son, who didn't just speak the good word, but who is the living word of God made flesh. Like St. Paul, our speech doesn't depend on eloquence or human wisdom, but on the message of Christ crucified in our hearing, and in our speaking, and in our living. We worship God the Father, who sent his Son that all who believe in him would have eternal life, his Son of whom it was said at the Transfiguration, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." May God give us ears to hear, and a tongue to speak the good news. A truth that sets us free. Words of grace that heal the broken heart. The good news of healing and hope that comes as we are opened by God's mercy, more and more to God's mysterious, wonderful, healing gospel in the Word made flesh. He who walks among us even now, is present to us even now, and whose words are in our souls even this day. Thanks be to God.